Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Welcome back to The Drive on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan. Tune in on game day to hear him 3 hours before kickoff and immediately following the final whistle. Here's the new pregame and postgame host for the Chiefs Radio Network.
Kansas City wins the game!
Joshua Briscoe.
Joshua Briscoe, before we move forward, because I do want to get your thoughts on Chiefs and Bills. I believe you're going to be in here maybe the whole 3 o'clock hour. You're at the other place, and the waitress comes around, and she hands you a menu, and you say, give me a bit. You start to look up and down the menu, and you have decided that you want chicken wings. You then tell the lovely waitress that you want chicken wings, and then she asks you a very important question. Do you want boneless or bone-in? How are you answering that question?
I'm glad you framed it that way, Carrington, because sometime in my past, I stopped trying to impress the waitress. And that's opened up so many opportunities for me. Now, look, can I defend everything that Steven Spector said in that clip? I cannot. And I will not, frankly. But what I am going to say...
I've never ended an in-studio guest 1-2 minutes into
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me, fellas. I'll talk to you next week. What I will say... And look, I see a text. Boneless wings are glorified chicken nuggets. I don't disagree with that text. You know what's great? Chicken nuggets covered in sauce. I don't even need to call, quote, boneless wings, wings. I'm not sure they are that. They're chicken nuggets. But there's no other food that we do this performative thing. Where it's, like, it's just not the same if I'm not sucking it off the bone. That's not a feeling that I have that I need to validate.
That's a technical foul on the show, what you just said.
I listened to a lot of fouls go uncalled last segment, is what I'm going to say. I don't need to sit there with one of those rinky-dink little wings trying to get every last bit, get that little piece of meat between the two bones on the flat. If I can just pop a nugget in, I'm going to pop a nugget. I'm cool with that. If you're going to a peanut situation where a wing is like pterodactyl size, different ballgame. If I want wing wings, and I'm going to get a big wing, that's cool. Of the places you've mentioned, we also have Jefferson's bring food by for Chiefs games sometimes.
Love Jefferson's.
Love Jefferson's. You know what's great? They're boneless nugs. Their wings are also great. But when they're all out there in the main area, I'm going to take a couple of wings with the bone in, and I'm going to take a couple of nuggets. I'm going to mix it up. I'm a buffalo sauce 1-1 guy. I don't really care about the sweet Thai chili as much as Speck does. I'm just saying I will never turn my nose up at a boneless wing. And I'm not sure what the Chips Ahoy take was, but I'm afraid I might have some empathy for that too.
I think I would have been happier for the last 45 seconds if you had just sung the Rock Chalk song. I don't have that in my soul.
I'm not here to wave the wee. I'm here to wave the wings is what I'm here to do.
I'm just telling you, I would have been happier. I think that would have been a better use of our time.
I'm not here to make you happy, Carrington. I'm here for the audience.
Right now, we got Joshua Briscoe joining us in studio. I do want to talk about this before we move forward to the game against the Buffalo Bills, because I think in order to kind of, I think, properly put this into context, I think you have to tell the story of how we got here. This is a team that was 2-3 heading into the Lions game, and people were nervous about the Detroit Lions game for very necessary reasons. The Lions might be the best team in the NFC. Great quarterback, great run game, great weapons, very capable defense. There was reason to be like, all right, hey, the Chiefs are in for a fight against the Detroit Lions. They took control of that fight. They dominated that fight for basically start to finish. And I think you can argue, I mean, these last two games, you got to show me in Chiefs history two performances where they dominated a team better than what they dominated. Vegas never had a realistic chance of winning that game. I mean, this game was close against Washington 7-7 for a little bit. But, I mean, there was a 35-40-minute stretch where I thought it was pretty clear the Chiefs were better than the Washington Commanders. So I think in order to kind of get ready to preview the game against the Bills, you have to at least tell the story of during this homestand of how the Chiefs became, in my opinion, the best team again in the National Football League.
To your point, it was such a different energy after that Jags game. You had the ebbs and flows of Ravens and Jags. But going into that homestand, I also want to tip my cap because I do think all three of those games went so differently. The opponents are obviously different and of different quality throughout. You have the Lions, a real contender, the Commanders, a professional football team, and whatever the Raiders brought that day. But with those three games, I think you saw a real challenge, and then you surge at the end against Detroit, but it's a really good team, and you take the opportunity to double dip around the half, something they couldn't do against the Jags. The Raiders game, just a nuclear blowout. You don't see wins like that in the NFL very often, and you never see it in the regular season from the Chiefs. Then that Commanders game, I do think it's important that it was 7-7 at halftime, and at the half, you're sitting there going, okay, well, is this gonna be one of those games where they just hang around and hang around and nag and nag and nag, and then, okay, great, this is a 17-13 sweaty win. That wasn't the case. They came out and blew the doors off in the second half. So not only did they claim that title, I think rightfully, of the best team, certainly, I think, in the AFC, you're favored against your other argument for that this weekend. I know the Patriots are on the upswing and the Colts are on the upswing. We need to see a little more from them before they can just have that title. I think where the Chiefs stand now is completely solidified by not just these last three wins, but how they won those three games.
Have you been more impressed with the offense during this three-game stretch or the defense during this three-game stretch?
I think I've probably been more impressed by the offense, but I'm not sure that's fair. I think we were all so starved for the offense to look like this again. Like, we ate our vegetables so many times last year, talking about the shortcomings of a very good, very productive offense, but not an explosive one, not a fun one. And so being able to see that all come together with all of the receiving weapons, like we heard it in training camp, and I was like, okay, I hope this is true. But I really do believe now when we think about Nagy and Mahomes and Andy Reid all saying during camp, like, no, I think this is like the deepest receiver room we've ever had. I believe that now. I agree with that now. So I think I've been more impressed by seeing the offense hit their heights again, because we just haven't seen it in so long. But I do think the defense has unfairly been kind of glossed over because they've been tremendous in those last three games. It's 24 points in the last three games, right? Yeah, you'll take that. That's an unbelievable effort that they have given up fewer points in the last 3 weeks than the Chiefs scored against the Commanders.
What I feel very encouraged about heading into this matchup is how they've done against the run. They played Detroit, maybe the best run game in the National Football League, held them to 98 yards rushing. The Raiders, just they couldn't get anything going. The Commanders, they stopped them on the ground. I know we're diving deep into this game against the Buffalo Bills. I mean, last week, James Cook ran for 200-something yards on less than 20 carries last week. I mean, maybe the best game he had of his career. Yeah. I feel good coming into this knowing James Cook might have a good game. I find it very unlikely that he is going to have a great game. We can go historically with how the Chiefs run defense has performed. We also can go here and now. Teams just don't run the football super successfully against Kansas City's defense.
That no one has broken that trend this year. And they've played a lot of very good running backs. We can do the whole list or not, but it's Amarian Hampton and Saquon Barkley in the early days of Cam Scataboo. And then the Ravens, they ran the ball with Justice Hill at the very end. That really skewed the numbers there. Travis Etienne, Gibbs and Montgomery, Ashton Jeanty, and then Jorick Kroski-Merritt last week. None of these number one running backs, all of those guys, I think, I mean, maybe Kroski-Merritt, he certainly has like the least pedigree, and, you know, Scataboo in week three, we didn't really know. But other than that, I mentioned, I think, nothing but top 10, top 15 running backs, and maybe the rookies need to be on a tier lower than that. But the Chiefs have handled all of those guys very, very well. It was the legs of Justin Herbert and Trevor Lawrence, and Lamar Jackson wasn't even scrambling really before he got hurt, not very successfully. These number one backs have not punished the Chiefs this year. And to your point, historically, we might have half a dozen instances now of talking about, like, is Derrick Henry going to be able to keep his offense afloat against Patrick Mahomes going back to the Tennessee days? And the answer was always no. So I really do think that is a vital part of the story of this entire season. Number one running backs for these teams, none of them have had the days that you would expect going into that game.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Joshua Briscoe. He is the pre- and post-game host on the Chiefs Radio Network. You'll hear that here on 96.5 The Fan, getting you ready for one of the biggest regular season games of the year in the National Football League between the Chiefs and the Bills. I want to go back one more time, and then we'll look ahead to the game against Buffalo. I asked this question to Rob yesterday. If you could change one thing about the first eight games for the Chiefs, you can't name Xavier Worthy's injury, you can't name Rashee Rice's suspension. What's the one thing you would change about the early part of the season? While you think about it, I would change the pick six against Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I think they win that game. I also probably would have used Smith a little bit more in the first half of the season.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they're going to need him on Sunday, but they're going to need him. He hasn't really gotten a lot of meaningful carries in the first eight games of the season. So those are the two things I would change. The pick six, I also would have got Breshard Smith a little bit more involved in the first eight games, especially in those first three games. Now, I know their other things change their offense, but if you start to look at the first 3 weeks and when they really, really struggled, and then when they started implementing Breshard Smith, I mean, there's a night and day difference for how their offense started to perform.
Yeah, those are good answers. So I think an interesting question. I can't help but think about Travis Kelce, because he causes the Worthy injury, and he basically has two interceptions on him this season, which is kind of bizarre. So I think that I already mentioned that middle eight against the Jags, and that's not a single moment. I don't know if you can just do something differently, but if it's the pick six or if it's the middle eight before and after the half against the Jaguars, I think that's where I think first. The Worthy one would be the right answer, and we're not allowed to pick it. I do really think back to that Eagles game, and if Travis Kelce catches that pass instead of tipping it up, I don't know how much it ends up mattering. I like the Chargers game is going to matter more in the standings than the Eagles game did, and the Jags game probably will too, just AFC, NFC, obviously with the Chargers, it's in the division, but I do think for like a singular moment, Patrick Mahomes not getting got on a really well-done, unscouted look against the Jags, turning into that pick six, I think that's probably second. I think I want Travis Kelce to catch that touchdown instead of let it pop up against the Eagles. But on some level, the silver lining of all of this, this team has seemed pretty dialed in since starting 0-2. If they're 1-1, I don't know what the rest of the season looks like.
In week two, I picked the Eagles to win, and I just thought it was pretty clear. Like, the Eagles are better than Kansas City, and that played itself out on the field. I feel that exact same way, just in reverse this time. I think the Chiefs are just better than Buffalo.
Yeah.
I think they're better at quarterback. I think right now they're better on the offensive line. I think they have more weapons and more things they can do offensively. I think their defense is better. I understand why this is a coin flip spread kind of game, and it wouldn't surprise me if this game heading into the final 8 minutes of it is a one possession close ball game, because all of these games end up being this way. I just think the Chiefs are better than Buffalo. That's why I'm picking them.
I think I'm in the same boat with you there. And, you know, you're right, and you were talking about this with Steve Tasker or whatever it was a little bit ago, and that it does always come down to one of those moments. It is always one of those you have a snapshot for most of these games that you can boil it all down to. I don't think we usually should. Like, I don't think that most of those moments aren't the singular thing that decided the game, but when everything else is so tight, when everything is just trading off points and trading possessions and being in such tight quarters that way, the most memorable final thing, that's what decides, you know, regular season win or loss, or if you're going to the Super Bowl or going to the AFC Championship game or whenever you meet. So I think I'm with you, though, where this version of the Chiefs, it feels kind of silly now after how the season began, but I think you can look at both sides of the ball and make the argument that this is some of the best stuff we've seen. The defense still has legitimate issues, but the results have been so excellent in these last 3 weeks that I don't think that can be a fluke. Then you have what the offense looks like, where it kind of feels like they're back at full firepower for the first time in a very long time. maybe the first time since trading Tyreek Hill, really. Obviously, there were still good offenses cobbled together there, but what they have in terms of all these pass catchers and what that does for opposing defenses, I just don't know how you answer all of those questions that you have to answer if you are a defense trying to slow down the Chiefs right now.
Another thing that I think, I mean, it worries me, that's not the word I would use when it comes to Buffalo, is when Buffalo has played a team that I think has a pulse, they've lost that game. When you look at their wins so far, now, I think it's a little bit unfair to Baltimore. At that point, Baltimore was a healthy team. We thought Baltimore was going to be good. Obviously, that's not the way the season turned around. But, like, beating Baltimore in that first week of the season, I would consider to be a good win. We got to use a little bit of hindsight and context. Outside of that, Jets, Dolphins, Saints, they just beat Carolina last week. I mean, you've beat some of the bad teams in the National Football League, which is fine. You're going to play those teams from time to time. The Chiefs just beat the Commanders with their backup quarterback and the Raiders.
Sure.
So you got to at least acknowledge that. They play New England. All right, you got a home game against another good team in your division. The only competitive team in your division. You got to figure out a way to win that game. They lose. They then go on the road, Thursday Night Football. They really got dominated by the Atlanta Falcons. Buffalo has to show me this year's team, not last year, not 3 years ago. The 2025 Bills have to show me they can beat one of the top tier teams. They haven't done it yet.
I watched every second of this Falcons game, and I still don't remember what happened. Like, I don't understand.
Bijan Robinson happened.
And that's true. That's true, I guess. But, man, like, to be in that space where suddenly you're a football team that can lose to a running back having a great day like that, that lowers your stock a little bit in my mind in terms of, like, how serious of a contender you actually are. And you're right. I mean, it was just an absolute Bijan takeover game. I don't think the Chiefs need to have a Rashee Rice takeover game. I just think they need to play offense. And if you do have that, the stat sheet against Washington is hilarious because nobody quite got to 100 yards. Like, Rice ended up over 100 all-purpose because of his little rush that was nearly a score. But I really do think that just like a functional, kind of comfortable Mahomes game, and we'll find out, I guess, it seems like Trey Smith's got a shot to go, and Caliendo was fine. Jalen Moore was much better in the second half. So if the offensive line is good enough for Mahomes to stay comfortable, the Chiefs are obviously better than all of those teams you mentioned the Bills beating. And you're right about Baltimore. It was different back at the beginning of the season. But now we have the hindsight of knowing what that defense ultimately really did look like. So them beating Lamar's version of the Ravens, that counts. Them putting up 41 points on that Ravens defense isn't as impressive as it was at the time because we've seen how that defense collapsed after. So, or started collapsing then, perhaps. So all that said, I'm with you here. I think there is a bit of reputational coasting for Buffalo right now, where you and reputational, I don't know, a holding back on the Patriots because you go, well, I don't know. It's Drake May, and is this version of the Patriots team really as good as it looks right now? A little skepticism that comes that way. And Buffalo, I think, gets kind of just shuffled along into those top 1, 2, 3 teams lists. But if the records were exchanged, we would not be talking about them that way. We would be talking about the Bills on this pedestal that, frankly, they haven't won their way onto that pedestal this year. So to your point, how do you answer some of the questions you've had all season, and now you have to answer them without Ed Oliver?
I mean, Buffalo, to me, if they let this opportunity go by, the same way we talk about in college football, like sometimes your schedule is built for you to make a run to the college football playoff. You got the right games at home. You got the right everything. Like, everything should come together. There's an expectation for you to be able to break through. I mean, Buffalo plays all of their big games at home this year. They have Baltimore at home. Kansas City's at home. Tampa Bay is at home. Philadelphia later on in the season is home. So it's any team that
they're hosting Cincinnati, which probably doesn't matter now, but at the beginning of the season, Bills-Bengals at home.
Yep. We thought it was going to mean something. You're also in division with two of the six bottom teams in the league with the Jets and the Dolphins. Like, if the Bills end up having to go on the road to Kansas City, that's a massive fumble of your regular season. Like, this was supposed to be the year. A lot of continuity. You re-signed James Cook. You did this. You did that. You brought in Bosa. Like, this was supposed to be the year. Your last year in your old stadium. Like, this was supposed to be the year. Now, they
breakout year for Keon Coleman. Everyone's watching for that, right?
And you could be potentially going on the road to Arrowhead again in January. You fumbled the regular season if that ends up happening for Buffalo.
And on the other side, I mean, I think that picking the Chiefs to at least struggle through the AFC West was a popular thing to do before the season. Frankly, the only team I've been wrong about in the AFC West this year has been the Raiders, because I thought they'd be better than they've been so far. I just thought the Geno Pete Carroll thing would result in competence, and it really hasn't. But the Chargers and Broncos are both ahead of the Chiefs right now in the standings, because obviously the Chargers have the tiebreaker, and the Broncos have a game up in the record column. This is built not only for Buffalo to be able to be the one seed, it could have been an argument for them to start looking ahead, especially after you realize what's happening with Baltimore, and especially after the Joe Burrow injury. You could have been looking and saying, you know what, let's do one of those Chiefs things where we just rest guys in week 18. Or maybe we've got our division locked up by Christmas again. Like, that path for them, I thought, made a ton of sense. And for whatever this combination of these few reasons, the margins are still so tight in the NFL. The Bills did not transcend any of that. And now we're right back at the same old point where you're looking around going, okay, is this a must-win game for Buffalo? I mean, it shouldn't have been, but you drop a couple games that you don't want to drop, or you look around and the Chiefs are surging after starting 0-2. And I have to imagine, I don't know how much it permeates the locker room, but I'm certain it permeates the fan base. I imagine that Bills fans right now are having a little bit of that deja vu of, oh no, not this again. Like, and not our last year in the home stadium. There's a chance that the Chiefs either put not a nail in the Bills' coffin, but put a real dent in their campaign for the one seed for the AFC East with the Chiefs' last game in that stadium on Sunday, or you get the funniest possible outcome, which is the Chiefs going there after all in the playoffs and closing that stadium with a Chiefs win. Would also be hilarious. That was almost expected 2 months ago. Now the Bills need to make some things happen for that to occur.
What is your favorite Chiefs and Bills memory aside from the 13-second? That's the number one. I think that's the best game ever played at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yeah.
What would you say is number two? Because for me, my number two is Buffalo finally got their home game. They always had to go on the road to Kansas City in the playoffs, 13-second AFC championship game. They finally got it. Mahomes goes in there and beats them. And that image of him running off the field and those fans, I mean, they're like Sandy Koufax the way they were throwing those snowballs at him. That's my favorite moment and memory. What's yours from this rivalry over the last handful of games?
You're right that the 13 seconds one has to be number one. And then we got, I'm answering now with the one that you told me I wasn't allowed to answer with, but I'm going down memory lane thinking through, trying to see if I have a better one than what you just pitched there. The thing with the 13-second game is that we ended up having like the NFL films and the mic'd up and the do it Kels and seeing how much that felt like backyard football and the back and forth of both teams believing that, okay, we've probably got it, but we need to get to the end of this game. I think 13 seconds is number one. I think getting it done in Buffalo, the rise of Allen face along like Eli Manning face on the sidelines and seeing the number of times that Josh Allen just ended up with that, you know, mile long stare and thinking, oh, okay, my season's ending the same way again. I have done everything again. I have played MVP caliber football again. And it's still ending at the hands of the one quarterback who's doing this better than me year in and year out. Those like literal images end up sticking out in my mind. But the 13-second game is elite. I'm also remembering now Rashee Rice like looking out at the in Buffalo, Rashee Rice looking out into the stands, pointing at the scoreboard and pointing at fans. I think that was when the snowball started coming in. So many of those iconic moments.
You know, one thing we don't talk nearly enough about that, you know, whenever we're done with Mahomes' career and we go back and we try to tell stories from it. I mean, this was during COVID, you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City was 4-1. Buffalo was 4-1. The Chiefs won that day 26-17. They ran the ball 46 times. They threw it 26 times. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 26 carries for 161 yards.
Good Lord.
We don't talk nearly enough about Clyde Edwards-Helaire day when they went on the road and beat the Bills because nobody was in the stands. If you remember,
yeah,
that was when New York, they had different COVID restrictions. No fan was allowed at the stadium.
Darwin Thompson got 3 carries in that game. Just going down memory. Oh, Byron Pringle. Yeah, 2 for 46 for Byron Pringle. 37-yarder. Incredible. Yeah, and so that one was followed by, we have to keep our Chiefs-Bills games in line here. So that was 26-17, like October of COVID, and then that gets followed, the run-heavy game of it all. Then that gets followed in the playoffs by 29 of 38 for 325 through the air for Mahomes and 3 touchdowns and sacked once and the 71-yarder. God, I love this is the other thing I was talking with the Buffalo Channel earlier this week. The one thing that I also, Cole Beasley led the Bills for 7 for 88 in this game. Stephon Diggs was behind Cole Beasley. I really do love what this rivalry brings out, because there is a joyfulness in the way that Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen both play football that inspires I love NFL Street. NFL Street 2 is like a top 5 game all time for me. So influential to the things I love about football. It's quarterback straight out of NFL Street. It's defenses that have legit players on it, but can never do quite enough to hold down these just like alien superhero quarterbacks. And it creates so many of these moments and these clashes between two fan bases that I really do think understand each other, or at least did for a while. Maybe it's gotten, you know, sometimes that happens in life. Somebody moves in one direction and somebody moves in another direction. Oh, you know what? Maybe we don't have all the same stuff in common that we had 10 years ago. But Chiefs and Bills fans grew up feeling a lot of the same feelings. And I think that's another reason that there's that extra energy underneath what this rivalry's become.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Joshua Briscoe of the Chiefs Radio Network. Coming up on the other side, we are going to play a game. Ooh. I'm going to give you a handful of quarterbacks, and I want you to answer the question if you think they will ever win a Super Bowl. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Tune in Mondays at 4 to hear the play-by-play voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
All right, coming up in a bit, we are going to play a game. Before we do that, let me tell you guys that you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with the juicy Week 9 matchup between the Chiefs and the Bills. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. So, I have appropriately named this game, Do You Think They Get a Chip? But before we get to that, I have to ask you the question that we were asking earlier in the week. Do you like Chips Ahoy or Oreo cookies more?
Okay, this is where the Chips Ahoy thing came from.
Yes.
I prefer a chocolate chip cookie in most circumstances, but if I'm going for a packaged cookie, I will go Oreo over Chips Ahoy 7 out of 10 times. It's close. It's close. But I narrowly go Oreo in the packaged cookie department.
Not all heroes wear capes.
Thank you, Rob. Good to be here.
Let's move on, Rob. Please play the music. I'm going to ask you five
Famous Amos, however. Go ahead. Sorry.
You're picking Oreos over Famous Amos?
Probably. What? I don't know. I think so.
Okay, like if you're at...
I like a Chips Ahoy.
I'm just trying
wrong.
To think of, like, if you're at the concession stand and they got the Famous Amos in there and then they got the Oreo, you know, that little mini sleeve of Oreo, and they're both $1.25. It's a no-brainer I'm getting the Famous Amos. It sounds like you're getting the Oreos.
It's context dependent. I'll have Oreo days. Look, man, I'm a man of variety. I'm a man of taste.
Can we move on, please?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm asking you, can we move on?
Absolutely. No, please
what
do.
You've been spewing is a lot of foolishness.
No, please go ahead. I'm sorry for
interrupting.
No, I'm sorry for derailing your wonderful radio program. I do apologize. Go ahead.
Do they get a chip or not?
Is a chewy Chips Ahoy good for you, Rob? Or is that also is that worse? I think I prefer a crispy one to a chewy one. Sorry, Kevin.
Look at the way he's shaking his head. Just so many bad opinions on this show.
Are Oreo flavors a mix of it?
Yeah, I don't want.
Are they
I don't
a factor?
I don't want any Oreo.
What about double stuff?
Drake May.
I kind of think he might, man. It's so early. I was just thinking about this during the break. Show me what we'd be playing. Some of these guys are aging up a little bit. Drake May, I think, is going to be around for a while. Getting an actual championship, though, is so hard. Right now, I'm going to say no, but I'm open. I'm a Drake May. I'm Drake May curious.
I think we are doing the thing with Drake May that we do every single year in the NFL. This, this is the fourth consecutive year we've done this.
Yeah.
A couple of years back, everybody loved C.J. Stroud.
We love doing this.
Last year, we loved Jaden Daniels.
Can't help
now,
it.
Now, we've moved on from Jaden Daniels, and now we've picked up Drake May.
We get itchy.
And then next year, we'll find somebody. Next year will be Jackson Dart. That everybody's like, oh, we love him now. Like, why are we doing this? We do this every single year.
I
spin the wheel of quarterback.
I think Drake May might actually have it. I think he might actually be that MVP caliber player who might actually have a chance against an older Josh Allen, an older Patrick Mahomes. I think Drake May might still be that guy where he does. Here's the thing. I don't think he's winning it on his rookie contract, and that's the easiest time to win it. So I'm still going a soft no on him, but I am kind of buying what I'm seeing, Mayor, learning nothing from the last 3 years.
The Patriots have 6 wins this season. 5 of them are against Miami, Carolina, New Orleans, Tennessee, and Cleveland. We don't have to do this with everybody.
I said no.
We don't have to do this.
I said no.
Justin Herbert. Does he get a chip?
Probably not. I'm going to say no. At the end, I'm curious to figure out who I'm going to say yes to. I'm really just taking this one player at a time. But I think I'm telling you the Los Angeles Chargers are not getting a chip. And unless Justin Herbert has a final act somewhere else, I guess that means he doesn't either.
Lamar Jackson.
Feels like the window's moving the wrong direction, right? Feels like the window is sliding shut. I guess he doesn't.
Go ahead and say no. I can see you inching closer to the no.
Here's the problem, man. I'm trying to figure out who my yeses are going to be. Because I'm thinking ahead, and somebody's got to win these championships, right? Mahomes can't win them all. It's not all Mahomes and Jalen Hurts, right? Either Burrow or Lamar has to win one eventually, doesn't he?
Do you think Allen gets one eventually?
I do. I think his window is shrinking. I think this year would have been a year to maybe have a good defense or a professional wide receiver. I'm not sure he has either of those.
You know what I would love? I would love for you as the voice of pregame and postgame for the Kansas City Chiefs radio network. I would love for you at the beginning of the season to say, you know what? I think Buffalo's winning the championship.
I think
Mitch Holtis might be the one that fires you if you gave that opinion. He'd come in there immediately.
I definitely don't think it's happening this year.
You're fired.
I think eventually Josh Allen wins one. He's the guy that I think I'm holding out my idealistic hope for. I feel like he deserves one. That doesn't mean anything.
Jordan Love.
Ooh, that's fun. I think he's got the best situation. I feel like the best situation right now in terms of some of those surrounding circumstances, and that matters. I don't like Jordan Love more than I like quarterbacks I've said no to, but I do kind of like his setup. I think LaFleur in Jordan Love is a pretty good bet. Yeah. I think the Packers get one while Jordan Love happens to be their quarterback. Okay. I think I'm gonna go ahead and see where I end up.
Right now we're playing. Do you think he gets a chip? Moving on. Jared Goff.
No. I know it's nice. I know it's a nice.
You didn't even hesitate really on Jared Goff.
I just think.
You were a little hesitant, like you didn't want to say it, but you didn't hesitate in a yes or no. You didn't waver.
You're right. I did not cloak it. I thought more about Drake May than I did Jared Goff. Because I'm really...
There wasn't a whole lot of him and Han.
No, I'm really trying to think about, like, the next 5 years. Because it's hard to predict further than that. But you look at the immediate right now. Again, I feel like... Jared Goff's not the reason the Lions aren't going to win football games. Like, I think he deserves more credit than he's probably gotten for the most part, but I don't think they're going to win a championship.
Jaden Daniels.
He has the rookie window still that I am optimistic about. I don't think we're getting a Washington Commander Super Bowl parade in the next 10 years. That doesn't feel right to me still. So I'm going to say no.
Brock Purdy.
No. Mac Jones, maybe.
Don't do that.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Why are we doing that with Brock?
Because he's pleasantly overpaid. That's okay. He's very good, and he's gotten better. I do think Brock Purdy deserves a little more respect. Like, we do this for guys who either weren't high draft picks or have kind of bored us at some point or another, been moved on from, like Goff has. And the only quarterback Kyle Shanahan can't win with, apparently, is Trey Lance. I don't know what to do with that.
It's in my contract every week that I have to ask you, are you a believer in the Indianapolis Colts? Because every week I ask you, they beat a team by 30 points, and then you tell me that you don't believe in them. So I have to ask you, are you a believer?
Do I think Daniel Jones is winning a championship? No. Genuinely. Because I think it's time. I think it's time for me.
Their point differential is 116.
What does believing in them mean?
Smoking teams.
What does believing in them mean?
Do you think they can make the AFC Championship game or better?
Yes. I think they could make the AFC Championship game. I think if they are the foil in the AFC Championship game, most likely to the Chiefs, maybe to the Bills, maybe to somebody else. Maybe it's the... God, can you imagine a Colts-Patriots Championship game? That would set us back. Literally, it would set us back 15 years. I don't know how I would feel about seeing that
again. I actually think America would like seeing two new quarterbacks in there.
I kind of think you're right. The same brands, but two new faces with the teams, new coaches and new quarterbacks. I think people might actually like that. They're so sick of the Chiefs. It's really about who's won recently, right? But no, I think the Colts are legitimately a very good football team. And I think Jones is one of those guys that deserves that credit. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team, but I tell you, I think they could be in the AFC Championship game. What's that now? A block kick and a tipped interception, and now they're a Super Bowl team. So the margins are very thin, but I think if they have a couple good bounces, I think they could absolutely be in an AFC Championship game.
How excited are you to bet against the Colts in the second round of the playoffs?
Pretty
excited.
Because
you are absolutely betting against them.
Yeah.
We already know they're going to be like 3.5-point favorites, and we're going to take the other team on the money line. It's going to be great.
So what's the funniest matchup there? Is it them hosting the Wild Card Bills? Because that sucks for them. It's like, all right, we got an Indianapolis Colts home game. We love the Colts. We are the Colts is the song the guy sings on Instagram.
At this point, if you're telling me that the Colts, I'm tripping. I was about to say if they lose the division, but you know, they'd be the home team in that scenario.
So that's what I'm saying. So like if the Colts win the division and they host the Bills, nobody's betting on the Colts in that game, right? Maybe they should.
There'll be a slight favorite, but no. The public will be all over the Buffalo Bills in that matchup for sure.
The AFC is such a mess right now, which is such a funny thing to be able to say from Kansas City, looking up at a messy AFC. Like, I don't know how many of these teams I'd really want to bet a whole lot on at any given point for anything.
Right now, we're joined in studio by Joshua Briscoe, getting you ready for Chiefs and Bills. We'll get back to that coming up on the other side. We'll talk about Josh Allen. I believe we are getting very close to it being time. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You open the fridge. There's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk about a couple of the ways that these organizations are linked together. Right now, we're happy to be joined in studio right now by Joshua Briscoe, avid Chips Ahoy fan, and also a guy who loves him a good bone-in chicken wing.
That might as well be true. I'm not here to hate on food opinions. I'm here to accept lots of them into my heart and, more importantly, my stomach.
You know what? I'll throw another topic that we had out there. This is, I guess, two questions that we had yesterday. I'll get your opinion on before we wrap it up with the game. The first one is, name an iconic Kansas City restaurant that you haven't been to. So my answer was Golden Ox. I've never been to the Golden Ox before. That is a steakhouse that has been talked about my entire life, and for whatever reason, I just haven't been there yet. The other one would be the Majestic for me.
Ah.
Is there a classic Kansas City icon popular spot that you have not eaten at yourself?
I've done a couple of shows from the Majestic the last couple of months. I haven't eaten there yet.
Okay.
So I've been there before it's actually open. So the Majestic would be on there, and I've been a big fan of being out there.
You got a hookup out there? You can put me in touch with somebody?
I might. I might a little bit. I'll talk to you a little bit after.
Give me somebody's number then.
I might have a couple numbers for you. I immediately started thinking about the last couple of like barbecue places. Like, I haven't been to Slaps somehow, and people are always like, "You should like Slaps is like top five."
Very good.
And that's the one that I think about, like, just having some guilt towards. That's not necessarily the echelon I think you're shooting for. I have not been to the Golden Ox. I didn't even know that existed. I don't get to find out about that. That sounds fancy. That sounds expensive. If you have a hookup, maybe we exchange contacts.
It's around the corner from Old Kemper Arena, now called Hy-Vee Arena. It's down there, like in the West Bottoms kind of area. The other one is, if you were playing Kansas City Family Feud, and the question was, name the most popular non-barbecue restaurant. So if it was a place where if somebody was like, man, I've lived here my whole life, but I've never eaten that fill in the blank, what would the number one answer be? I said Town Topic is the number one answer. I would look at you a little funny if you lived in Kansas City for 30, 40 years and you've never been to Town Topic. I also think Winstead's has number one answer possibilities.
Both good. I'd love to add something on top. I was thinking more like, does Garozzo's reach that level? I think those, Winstead's is great. Town Topic is great. Town Topic is a harder one to like send people to if you're, because again, thinking about sit down restaurant versus drop in and experience this. I think Garozzo's is probably the one that I would lean towards on the sit down side. And I think Town Topic is probably the number one overall pick in terms of getting a piece of Kansas City in a very real way, non-barbecue.
All right, so let's wrap it up with this, at least when it comes to the game and comes to Sunday. I have all the respect in the world for Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is the second best quarterback in the National Football League. He looks like everything Cam Newton should have been, like just the absolute best version of Cam Newton's career.
Yeah.
He's kind of reached that point to me. I call it the LeBron James effect. LeBron is at this point where only three things matter. Did you win MVP? Did your team win the championship? Did you make it to the championship? No one cares about anything else. If LeBron goes out there, has 40 points, 28 rebounds, and 9 assists, it's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, let me know when you guys win another championship. That's kind of where I feel Josh Allen is. Josh Allen could go out there and throw 400 yards on Sunday.
Yep.
He could throw over 400 yards, 4 touchdowns. He'll be the favorite to win the MVP again. He might win the award again. Once you get to January, people are going to ask the same question over and over and over. When are you winning a championship? That's where I think he is. And it feels like it's time. At this stage in your career, if you've already won an MVP, you're getting close to 30, and now we are already seeing the next generation of quarterbacks
right.
come after you.
Right.
Herbert, Knicks, all of
Drake
those
May's
guys.
Drake leading your division right
Drake
now.
Drake May, Jaden Daniels. When you see that next group of quarterbacks and you still don't have one, it feels like it's time for him.
To the LeBron effect of it all, like, there's not an easy way for him to end up doing what LeBron did. But like this is LeBron never leaving Cleveland. Because Josh Allen also carries the generational trauma and expectations and the history of the Buffalo Bills. So he's doing it even more so than, you know, like, I think Lamar Jackson might be in a similar spot, but it's totally different because that's an organization that not only has won a Super Bowl with this same head coach that's there right now. So I think that Josh Allen, I think that LeBron comp to him is a very, very good one. And it ends up being almost unfair because I think you're right. I think Josh Allen can be the clear-cut second-best quarterback in football. And I think he, in a lot of ways, I think he's correctly probably the second most influential quarterback in football. Lamar is incredibly unique, but I think what Josh Allen does is something that has influenced these last 5 years of scouting and drafting and how many of these players. Well, you know what? It was really year two before Josh Allen started putting it together, and now you have a little more patience for quarterbacks who aren't taking the jump that Josh Allen did. The thing that I think we're going to end up looking back on, I'm a Phoenix Suns fan to connect our NBA analogies here. I wonder if Josh Allen is going to retire Charles Barkley, where it's just going to be this guy who everybody universally acknowledges. You had every individual accolade. You were nearly at the very top of your sport your entire career. Like, you have been generationally excellent. You were born at the wrong time. You entered the league at the wrong time because you ran into the one or two buzzsaws that were just running constantly in your sport. And on that level, like, I kind of hope that's not Josh Allen's legacy. I think he deserves better than that with what he's already done. But then you're like, well, yeah, but so how does he get to the Super Bowl? Is it by beating the Chiefs? Like, oh, yeah, you know what? I don't feel so bad anymore. Like, I'm not here to save Josh Allen's legacy that way. But you're right. He's one of very... He and Patrick Mahomes might be the only two players in football judged that way now. I think Lamar hasn't been fully forced down that path yet because he still gets so much credit for what he does individually. Mahomes and Josh Allen are the guys that are going to be judged. MVP, yes or no. Championship, yes or no. Maybe Allen gets credit for getting to a Super Bowl and losing like Burrow did. But ultimately, Mahomes has answered that question with ring after ring after ring and so many of these appearances, never failing to get to the AFC Championship game. And every time the playoffs roll around, now the question is like, so is this going to be the year Josh Allen finally breaks the curse? While Mahomes, you pencil him into the championship game every year.
Yeah, I led the show with this where Mahomes is one of the few true superstars that never really had to answer the, well, can he win the big one? Right. Because you think about it. I mean, first year he's in the National Football League, he gets to the AFC Championship game. The second year they go win the championship. Like, when was this time where the national conversation is Patrick Mahomes good enough to win the championship?
It was like the first 2 weeks as a starter. that was it.
That was it. But you think about
not even.
You think about like Kevin Durant. We had that question for 7 years of his career.
Yes.
Michael Jordan had to answer this question. Like, there's so many athletes that had to do it. So like, in some ways, I think the Chiefs fans are spoiled because their experience with a superstar is just so unique to what everybody else had to do. Like, every other great player, Steph Curry, LeBron, had to answer this question. And that's the point, and that's where Josh Allen is in his career. He's at the point where we all acknowledge how great he is. He's so good. He's so dominant. We all acknowledge this. The one question is, Can you be someone who at the end of the season is the last man standing?
I like the idea that right now Chiefs fans are spoiled kind of in the way that like a rescue dog is spoiled, where it's like, we found this dog on the street. We could count its ribs. Its hair was all matted and it had just been living out here, living the hard life for a year on the road. And then a family adopted this dog and then just showered it with treats and toys and attention for the rest of its days. Chiefs fans paid the price to be spoiled now in this iteration, but you're right that there was not ever real opportunity. And I'm sure there was a bad segment of sports television at some point during Mahomes' first year as a starter. But as we saw it in the final week of the regular season of his rookie year, you saw special stuff from Mahomes that just made you excited to see it. When those claws really come out, from a narrative perspective, it's after you stub your toe the first time. It's the first time you truly fail. The most annoying Mahomes discourse came after the Bengals AFC Championship game loss. And it was this one bad game of playoff football that really was the only bad game of playoff football they played until they lost to the Bucks.
I would actually argue that, the right? only time that Mahomes really had to answer this question was after the Tyreek Hill trade.
Yeah, sure. Because the circumstances
changed.
That was
the time.
Sure, right. And I think if anyone who was paying attention, I don't think ever had real doubt. I think you could ask the question, but I don't think you were in here saying, I don't know if Mahomes is still going to be the guy without Tyreek Hill. You could ask if the game was going to change and how that evolution was going to go, but he's just had so much success.
I'm picking the Chiefs. I'm not afraid to pick against the Chiefs. I've picked against the Chiefs this season. I just, to kind of bring this conversation full circle, the same way that I felt in week two, where I just felt that the Eagles were better than the Chiefs. I just felt that the Chiefs are better than the Bills, and I think they win this game. I think they're playing better than them in almost everything that we can quantify. I think they're better at quarterback. Their offense is better. Their defense is better. I think they're playing more cohesively. To me, they are more battle-tested this season than I think Buffalo is. I'm picking the Chiefs in this game.
I'm with you. I think the two things that could have had me giving more credit to Buffalo this year and in this game is if you said, okay, well, can you get pressure without having to manufacture it, something the Chiefs still struggle with? And the Chiefs have had Chris Jones playing really good football, and a ton of football at that. But Chris Jones has been playing very well. Ed Oliver's out. And then the second thing, what do the weapons look like around your quarterback? Patrick Mahomes has the best collection of weapons he's had in years, and Josh Allen is still trying to figure out if Keon Coleman's going to be somebody. James Cook is legit. Like, that's a real weapon, but we talked about this at the beginning of the hour. The Chiefs have been so good at taking away your first option. Is Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox, like, is there going to be an annoying tight end versus Shamari Connor matchup somewhere? Yeah, sure. I don't think they're going to shut Buffalo out, but I agree with you. I think the Chiefs are a better football team, and I think they're a better football team in the most important places.
That was our guy, Joshua Briscoe, joining us in studio. Be sure to catch him on Sunday right here on 96.5 as he gets you ready for one of the biggest games of the NFL regular season between the Chiefs and the Bills. Coming up on the other side, I want to talk about the power of one. I'll explain. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
What's up, guys? It's Candace Dillard Bassett.
And I'm Michael Arsenault, and this is Undomesticated.
We're putting it all on the kitchen table and inviting you to the function. Follow and listen to Undomesticated, available wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.